Good morning, Oregon. I'm Finn J.D. John, finn@offbeatoregon.com, and this is the Offbeat Oregon History Podcast, which every weekday brings you another story from the archives of the Offbeat Oregon History syndicated newspaper column. Thank you for loading me down and queuing me up today, and I hope you enjoy the show. This is the story of the Oregon governor who told the President of the United States to drop dead. Governor Sylvester Penoyer, an irascible populist and an unapologetic racist, by far the most colorful chief executive the Beaver State has ever had, who especially enjoyed feuding with sitting presidents in Washington, D.C. This story first ran in the newspapers on August 1st, 2010. Here we go. If there were a category in the Guinness Book of World Records for the state with the crankiest former governor, Oregon would surely hold that title. The state would have earned the record in 1886 when it elected Sylvester Penoyer, and Penoyer would have clinched it 7 years later with a telegram he shot off to the President of the United States of America, telling him in essence to mind his own damn business. His precise words.
Washington, I will attend to my business. Let the President attend to his. Sylvester Penoyer, Governor of Oregon.
This telegram was in response to a note from the President, Grover Cleveland, urging Western governors to take steps to make sure that no Chinese people got hurt in riots or demonstrations following the passage of the Chinese Exclusion Act again. It was actually being renewed rather than passed for the first time. The President had sent the same telegram to the governors of Idaho and California and gotten very different replies. Washington, by the way, wasn't a state yet. But then Penoyer was no friend to the Chinese, or to any other ethnic minority either, for that matter. In fact, he owed his governorship to an incident in 1886 in which he and a mob of workers crashed an outdoor meeting being held by the mayor of Portland and turned it into a loud, rowdy anti-Chinese riot. He was also, 25 years after the Civil War, an advocate of slavery. But lest you get the idea that he was simply a complete and unmitigated scoundrel, he also was an advocate for workers' rights. Which might have seemed odd. He was a lumber baron who regularly wore very formal suits and swallowtail coats and carried himself stiffly like an aristocrat. But shortly after he took office, Oregon became the first state in the Union to declare Labor Day a holiday. He also refused to call out the state militia after railroad workers in Albany formed an angry mob in response to their employer's refusal to pay them. If they got their paychecks and rioted anyway, he told the railroad managers, he'd call out the state militia. No problem. Otherwise, he'd just let nature take its course. Seems like the right call. What he was most famous, though, was snubbing presidents. In addition to the famous telegram, which I've mentioned a little bit ago, his exploits included the following amazing deeds of legendary chutzpah. Item: declaring a different date for Thanksgiving in Oregon, after then-President Cleveland set one for the nation in 1894. Oregonians apparently had two Thanksgivings that year. Item: refusing to leave Salem to welcome the President of the United States, Cleveland's predecessor Benjamin Harrison, when the nation's leader arrived in Oregon for a railroad tour in 1891. Quote,
I have no business to go pay homage to him, Penoyer told a newspaper reporter at the time. On the contrary, when he visits Oregon, he should rather pay his respects to me.
Penoyer subsequently relented and agreed to leave the Capitol building to meet Harrison at the Salem train depot, where he kept the commander-in-chief and a large crowd of onlookers waiting in the rain and arrived 10 minutes late. By the way, he also arrived in an incredibly showy carriage pulled by four snow-white horses, like an imperial warlord or something. It was all very fabulous and somewhat embarrassing. Item: refusing to let the Oregon Democratic Party use the official state cannon to fire a salute in celebration of Cleveland's inauguration in 1893. Now, at this time, Penoyer had just left the Democratic Party to become the second populist party governor in U.S. history.
Quote, no permission will be given to use state cannon for firing a salute over the inauguration of a Wall Street plutocrat as President of the United States, he said,
and locked the thing up under armed guard. The Democrats won this standoff by their wits. They forged a court order commanding the sheriff to confiscate the cannon as collateral for the payment of an imaginary unpaid bill for blacksmith work, then got it from him and fired the salute. One imagines them at least being tempted to fire that salute from a location very near to the governor's mansion, perhaps at 3 o'clock in the morning or so. But, sadly, the records are silent on those sorts of details. Item: officially calling for the impeachment of Cleveland in 1893. Pennoyer's cantankerousness earned him the nickname Sylpester Annoyer from pioneer Judge Matthew Deedy. He became a nemesis to Harvey Scott, editor of the Portland Oregonian, who took to referring to him in editorials as his eccentricity. For a time, there was talk about running him on a presidential ticket, but such talk died instantly after the cannon incident. In Oregon, though, Pennoyer was still pretty popular. After his 2 terms as governor, he went on to become mayor of Portland. And Pennoyer set the tone, in ways both good and bad, for politics in Oregon for decades. In the early 1900s, Oregon would become known as a land of crotchety mavericks, proudly libertarian and frankly populist, friendly to workers so long as they were of Northern European descent, with a sometimes slippery interpretation of the rule of law. You'll still hear echoes of that spirit in Salem to this day. That's our show for today. This podcast is part of Offbeat Oregon History, a public history resource for the state we love. In addition to this podcast, it includes a weekly newspaper column, a daily RSS feed to catch on your smartphone newsreader, a Facebook page, a Twitter feed, and a couple other minor components. You can access all those at our anchor page at offbeatoregon.com. I do this for learning and for fun, so I don't sell advertising and I don't ask for donations. But if you feel like making a donation anyway, may I suggest that you buy a copy of my book instead? It's called Wicked Portland, The Wild and Lusty Underworld of a Frontier Seaport Town. It was published by the History Press in 2012, and you can order it on Amazon, or if you'd like a signed copy, from the store link at offbeatoregon.com. However, if you still have a community bookstore in your town, I hope you'll consider buying it from them instead. It sells for $20. Photographs and other images that go with today's show are on offbeatoregon.com, where you'll also find full citations to the sources I used in writing this story. The podcast, like most Offbeat Oregon history resources, is covered under a Creative Commons license. For details of that, see offbeatoregon.com/cc. Our theme music is by the Atlas String Band, atlasstringband.com, and was written by Carmen Ficarra. If you're ever in Corvallis, do drop me a line. Maybe we can grab a cup of coffee and talk history. I'm at finn@offbeatoregon.com. Don't be a stranger now. Our next show is going to be coming your way at around 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. And until then, go fill up the rest of today with good stuff. Bye now.